Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Excess Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side, and I am joined by my compadre,
Mark Waltz, over on the west side of Manhattan.
Yes, yes. And we're waiting for Heather, who's somewhere in the middle of the Midwest in Minnesota with the snow. And we expect her to join us, too. What we do here on Access Astrology is we talk about the upcoming weekly weather and what it feels like energetically. And if we have time, we take calls. And tonight is our first night with a half-hour format. So we've been reduced. We have to talk fast to get all an hour's worth of information into a half an hour. I'm up for it. Are you up for it?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay. And when we get really good, we'll be able to talk without breathing in.
We'll just dump information. There's Heather. And everybody will just pipe up and listen to us. And they can pass plus the, roll back and replay it, roll back and replay it. So.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Good.
So
and
it's very
Heather.
Good.
Yes.
This is
Heather Rowan Robbins.
Hi, Heather. Let's pipe up again.
I said this is Heather Rowan Robbins from Minnesota tonight. How is everybody?
We're good. We're good. Are you
good,
snowy
good.
Out there?
It's very cold tonight.
Yeah.
We had a brief warming spell, which was lovely. It got up to 32, 33 degrees. It was like, woohoo, dancing in the streets. And back to that deep frozen air.
Right.
Wow.
It's very cold out there. It's a little chilly. Yeah, we're a half hour tonight, so we were talking right before you got here about how we have to talk extra fast. So I'm excited about the Chiron going into Pisces tomorrow, and Admetos, which is an imaginary Uranian planet that we watch, stopping. And they both stopped like 26 minutes apart from each other. But the big one, Chiron and Pisces, last time that happened was in April 19th, and we had the BP oil spill boom right then.
That's true.
Yeah, so, Pisces is the sign of the ocean, and Chiron is the sign of healing or wounding or both.
And when was the last time before that in history?
April of 1960. April of 1960 to April of 1968. So all those little babies that were there at the Civil Rights Movement... all were Chiron and Pisces
now,
babies.
That's very interesting because one of the things I've been talking about with the Chiron going into Pisces is the tendency for martyrdom.
Yes.
And if we think of Chiron in Pisces, then we have the martyrs of the Civil Rights Movement. We also had the insemination of the dream world, that the drug craze that went on. And I've thought about that with Neptune going into Pisces and Chiron in Pisces, Neptune going to Pisces in a few months, that we're both it will revitalize an image of the martyr, of a martyr.
Right.
And it might wake up our dream world with, some beautiful things like meditation and visualization, but may also... And a new burst of creativity in the world, but it may also bring up things like drug use and artificial ways of going to seek Neptune.
Yes, we love
but
drug use with Neptune. those addictive habits out again, yes.
It worries me heading into this week with a Sun-Mars conjunction today, and the Sun and Mars both coming up to Neptune and Chiron, in the next few weeks, that there's no way out of the Mideast difficulty without heading into a situation where someone else will be martyred.
Right.
And it began with four martyrs that burned themselves in the square in Egypt.
Really? I missed that. Really?
Imploded many weeks ago. And then one woman spoke... One Aquarian woman whose birthday was January 25th got on YouTube and did a diatribe and told people that she was going down to protest. She has Venus and Mars in Pisces, and possibly the moon there too. And she was horrified by this and, mm-hmm. you know, told any man who had any guts to come down and help protect those that were speaking out, you know, did they have less guts than she did? And she was going down there to protest these martyred people on her birthday, on January 25th. She didn't mention it was her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
But that it became the rallying point. It went viral all over the internet and got a huge crowd down on January 25th and began this whole Egyptian mess here, mm-hmm. this revolution that's so exciting.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what's going on with her now?
She's still there and part of it, but I have a feeling someone besides those first martyrs, although the martyrdom is part of what began the process, that the first martyrs won't be the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it really all kicked into gear in January 22nd, when Jupiter went into Aries, is when it went from we are martyred to we are martyred and pissed, and we're going to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, the conflagration as soon as Jupiter went into Aries was amazing.
Hmm. Well, well. Yeah, the Jupiter in Aries really just kind of kicked it right up. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. now we are really going wild out there in the world. I've just been amazed at how crazy it is. And I know in my, you know, the other thing we have to remember is whatever we're seeing in the collective is also happening somewhere in our chart. So we're all having kind
yes.
of martyrdom someplace, and we're all having mm-hmm. this rebellious energy where we want to kick up our heels and not, you know, not be told what to do and not follow the authority and challenge the authorities. And at the same time, we're also the authorities saying, you know, I really don't really want to change. I like it the way it is, depending on what part of your chart you're looking at. So this whole conflict is really happening internally in each of us at the same time that we see it kind of playing out in the world. That's what I always find fascinating, is the collective reflecting the individual, you know, and the people, you know, I have clients who are really releasing or being asked to release their power and walk away from their existing lives that they've built over years. And then I have other clients that are on this, you know, let me conquer the world and go knock the doors down and, you know, overthrow the existing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real fascinating contrast, depending on where these planets are in your chart, you're having this energy play out. And, of course, Egypt as the world stage is helping us see it, you know, and Cairo is the center of the world. Literally, it's the center of the landmass. It's kind of an interesting point. You know, makes sense that there's pyramids there. But it's kind of one of those moments in time where I think we're looking and saying, wow, this is the new revolution coming in, and what are we going to do with it? You know, thus far it's been peaceful. The armies haven't been attacking. The police, you know, there's been thuggery and stuff, but by and large, peaceful, not a lot of looting and robbing, you know, some arson. But it's kind of, okay, what's the vision? Where are we going? What are we trying to accomplish here? Dissatisfaction, got it. What's the new structure look like? And I think we're all at that point of, well, what does the new structure look like? Do we blow it all up and get rid of it right from start, or do we do a transition? And, you know, we're each going to be making decisions in our own lives about that, but it also, you know, reflects on the deeper level with the collective. So,
mm-hmm.
kind of cool.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. And we also have Valentine's Day this week.
And, yes, and that is often such an emotionally loaded time for people. And, you know, I have very strong feelings about Valentine's Day. I think that if we can really see it as the Aquarian holiday, that it really isn't about personal intimacy and dashed expectations on our love life and did we get the right candies. It is about how can we love the world. It's Aquarius. It's about how do we love the community? How do we bond together and work together? How do we make a heart offering? So, and that also takes the heat off of it, because when we take it into our personal life, it's not about how we, are we living up to an ideal? And so many people just feel like Valentine's Day is a minefield of expectations or of feeling a loss because they don't have someone, or they, who they have doesn't know what to do on Valentine's, because it's become such a difficult ritual, which is one of the downsides of Aquarius, is the when it gets stuck and formalized and not isn't spontaneous, but is living up to some abstract ideal versus really an honest feeling from the heart.
Yeah.
And so, you know, someone said, you know, Aquarians, talking about Ronald Reagan, whose birthday it was recently.
Right, he's, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that he has Venus at 3 degrees of Capricorn, so there's a lot of negative stuff about him on the internet at the moment, because Pluto's been on his Venus, and some of his, you know, the idolatry of him is really being broken apart this year.
Well, he's only 100, you know, I mean, he's only 100. He's not here to hear it. It's good, it's, you know, and he's forgetful anyway,
yeah,
you know.
Finally
good.
They made me wake up a little bit.
Yeah.
But that, the, but with that Aquarius, someone said about him that, you know, he could see, he could talk to the populace, he could see the vision pretty well,
mm-hmm.
he just couldn't see people. He liked, you know, humanity, he just hated people. I mean, or he couldn't see how to actually help the person in front of him,
mm-hmm.
or the people close by. And that's that Aquarian tendency to be, and not all of them are by a long shot, but the shadow side of Aquarian can be farsightedness, in that they cannot see the people close to home or their real feelings.
Right, right, right.
So with that, with going into this Aquarian holiday, you know, we can say, okay, we can't necessarily see each other so clearly. How can we put it into the big picture and make it a love offering to the world? If we're going to get romantic, better on the weekend or on that full moon in Leo, which is a wonderful time for over-the-top experiences, but will tend to crank up feelings, and I have a feeling it's going to be a huge denouement in big politics too, after Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day has got a, with some very kind of cranky aspects that day, and the moon in Cancer. It's like
mm-hmm.
time to make each other comfort food and take a bath.
Yeah, very sensitive. I was like, celebrate mm-hmm. Valentine's Day on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it on Valentine's
exactly.
Day. Yeah.
Right, or if you're going to do it on Valentine's Day, just cuddle up.
Right, no hard romance outdoors. You want to eat your own food in the house that makes you feel happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be in your pajamas. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Mark, what do you see in the week ahead? What's calling your eye, catching your eye?
Well, the other thing to look at is Venus going Pluto this week.
Mm-hmm. You mean joining?
That comes up. And it's nice that we get that out of the way before Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still there because, you know, it's another reason to not try to celebrate Valentine's Day, at least not with a particular special romantic person on Monday the 14th, because that Venus square Pluto we get reminded of that because the moon opposes both of them. So it's kind of a little reminder
mm-hmm.
from that moon in Cancer that there's still friction.
Right.
And, you know, some kind of deeper stuff going on.
That everything's a little cranky, crabby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Look at the weekend, or let it, like Heather said, let it wait for Moon and Leo.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, Moon and Leo's a couple days in, right? Yeah. I'm looking at Gemini.
Yeah,
you know.
Days.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be on Thursday, Friday of the following week, Thursday night.
Right.
I just have a feeling that that's a perfect time for the denouement of a play. I it may be some real operatic stories in the press around that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Meaning what? I don't know what that means.
It may mean that that's when Mubarak steps down, or when there's a big fight in the square in Egypt. It's more like the crisis point in a play.
Oh, okay.
So it may not be the end of the story, but I expect it to get to really act out, and people make grand sweeping gestures and statements. It just, the volume turns up on how people act out.
Oh, okay. I thought it would maybe be this week on Tuesday, Wednesday, with the moon in Aries kind of pushing, and the moon Pluto.
Oh, there's definitely a push now.
Yeah, and then the moon, the Venus Pluto joined, you know, because that's kind of like, I've had it.
That's when I was thinking about a possible another martyr.
Oh, okay.
Someone else whose loss might be, because often when we see Venus Pluto together, we see, you know, Mother Teresa die, or you know, we see that something that makes our hearts all connect together on something.
Okay. So you're thinking of it more as a martyr rather than Mubarak stepping down. And then next week would
I'm thinking. And maybe, you know, it would be nice if it was Mubarak stepping down.
No, it's interesting because it's like, it's, you know, you're watching the stuff and you're going, wow, this is like really hopping, you know. It's just hopping, hopping, hopping. And Saturn's going back to Egypt's ascendant, 16 Libra. So it's definitely, you know, time to move. But when does he go? I don't know. And I have to say, you know, and there's a part of me that's going, don't take the deal. You know, like you're on door number one, door number two. I mean, of course, we're dealing with people's lives. But, you know, when Monty used to say, okay, do you want it behind door number one, door number two, door number three? And it's like, no, no, you want to hold out for, you know, I'm like shouting in the audience. And it's like much bigger. It's really very spellbinding. It's similar to Haiti, you know, where you just were really carried away on the energy of it.
It's really, despots and autocrats are in a tough spot because they don't have a retirement plan.
Right, right. Well, I'm sure he's secreted.
I know, he's got like $70 billion, they said. They said there's the amount of money that he has got in storage, that the family is worth, is pretty spectacular, which is why lots of small countries are now going, hey, you can take refuge here.
Right, come spend your money in our place, right.
Right.
As long as he doesn't have any Egyptian banks. He's probably got it in Switzerland or something, but...
Right, so it's a question for these small countries. Should we take Mubarak or should we take toxic waste?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
But he's also 80, too. I mean, the Shah of Iran did not last that much longer when he got kicked out. So I find it fascinating
it's the same
story again. You know, and back then it was the Shah left, and then... The Muslim fundamentalists took over, and then we had the Iran-Iraq war because we had to get rid of the weapons that we'd sold them. And Egypt has a heck of a lot of weapons that we've sold them for the last 50 years. So 30 years, I guess. They've been our friend for 30 years. They turned away from Russia and came over to us.
Well, that's one of the points made about Reagan, is that, you know, it was Reagan's crew that originally funded and armed the Taliban in the name of fighting the Russians at the time.
Right. Yeah, well, they did, fighting Iran, too, because the Shah had collapsed, and Russia was Iran, we were Iraq. And then okay, now we got to take those weapons away from you, Saddam, and let's go blow up your... I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you would think people would look and go, I know you're going to sell me a lot of guns, but after you do, you're going to come kill me. So I think I'm just going to pass on that offer. Maybe I'll buy them from South Korea, you know, or North. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, it's not a good deal. So, and Dick Cheney's out from wherever he normally hangs out going, no, no, don't do it. You know, support Mubarak. And I'm like going, all right. Well, that makes my mind up. So I just find it absolutely amazing. You kind of watch this stuff, and you realize we are at a pivotal time. You know, I keep thinking...
It is, no doubt about it.
We've got four...
All of this is bringing up, and it's what we're moving into now. Is we're getting Uranus moving into this square with Pluto, and we're getting Neptune moving into Pisces, and Uranus into Aries, and we have... been watching Pluto and Capricorn and going on for a while. So this whole big shift is happening.
Yeah. It's absolutely amazing. You know, it's kind of one of those, you go, wow, okay. You know, what are we doing? I find it amazing. I mean, I just, and I think it's all getting us, you know, we all have front row suits for the evolution of human consciousness. Or not, you know, depending on what happens.
The opportunity for human struggle.
The opportunity for it.
It's an opportunity.
Yeah. And I find, I mean, I don't know about you guys, you know, there's a little part of me that's going, okay, I want my macaroni and cheese, you know, like this is feeling a little, even, you know, even working on, like working on staying conscious, I'm still like, I want to go to bed and go to sleep and I want my macaroni and cheese because it makes me feel happy.
Yeah, well, there is, you can see what, I think that knowing that feeling, can you imagine the people that are willing to put that so, their own comfort so thoroughly at risk?
Yes, yes.
What that must mean to them to be willing to do that.
To do that kind of standing there fighting, yeah. When you were watching the images of it, you know, which is the rocks and the stuff getting thrown, and you're like, wow, you know. I mean, we're back to rocks, which is good. You know, there's a part of me that goes, good, it's rocks. You know, it's not shot. But rocks do a lot of damage, too. So, I don't know. So that's the beginning of the week, is this lovely thing. Moon in Aries, Monday, Tuesday. Moon in Taurus, Wednesday, Thursday. And then a void moon on the afternoon on Friday. And then moon into Gemini, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. And then moon into Cancer in the wee small hours of the morning on Sunday night into Monday. So Gemini moon has a square to Uranus closing aspect, so it's separating. Taurus moon has a trine sextile, I'm sorry, to Uranus, so it's a positive. And then the moon in Aries has a sextile to Neptune, so it's also positive, although stressful. So even though the energy is very stressful and very wired, the outcomes are good. And Mars is starting to separate from the Sun, so we may actually find that the inflamed passions kind of drift apart a little bit. So, but it's,
okay, should we see if we have any Valentines out there calling in?
We did have one. Let me go back. I moved over to my couch because I thought, ooh, I can move around now on this little phone here. Instead of sitting at my little wooden desk, my little wooden chair, I thought, let me go sit on the couch. So we did have a caller right when I even signed in. There was somebody on the line. So I'm assuming they're still there. They are. There's actually a couple. And we have 7 minutes left. All right. Hi, 646. You were there before the show started. So what are you calling with?
Yes, I know. I know you guys only have half an hour. I was just wondering, I called you before and it kind of got cut off, but I've been feeling kind of like down lately, and I just wanted to know if that's something in my chart. I've just been feeling really heavy, the energy, and just kind of, you know, just
what's
not
your birth
inspired. May 6, 1980, 12:42 p.m.
Where?
1980.
May
6th? May 6th, 1980.
May 12:42 p.m. And where?
Yonkers, New York.
Yonkers. Okay, I remember you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I lived in Yonkers briefly.
She has a sense memory for Yonkers.
Yes.
You're having
and you wanted to know, you said you're feeling down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just
tell me more about
down
that.
And, I've been writing. I'm kind of like, I'm doing a creative project, and I'm just kind of, all right, if I had to explain, it's like a monastery. There are no windows, no clocks, but I'm recording music, and I'm just being like, so I'm at the place where I can really focus and hone in on my energy, but I'm just not feeling that inspiration, and I don't know if it's something that's just collectively, because the people around me, I notice that they're just kind of down too. So I was wondering, is there something going on?
Like you're about to break out of a shell, and you feel more like you're a bird molting, and the new feathers haven't come in yet. There's so much in your chart that's ripe for a change. It may be 10 months away. Your progress moon has been 20 months in Pisces, so it's been a time where, though you would like to be focused on your work, because you're born around noon, so your sun and Mercury and many asteroids are up at the top of the chart, and you identify with your work heavily, and you have a Jupiter-Mars conjunction, very ambitious and very not competitive with anybody else necessarily, but competitive with your personal best. You want to get somewhere and do things and get places. But the last couple of years have been much more about processing relationships than they have about getting places in your work. Now, the thing is, processing your relationships and really looking at your feeling and really introspecting now is going to help feed your artwork. But you keep thinking you keep thinking it's two different things. Either I can do my work or I can feel all these emotions. But it feels more like, can I make music that expresses how I feel? Can I sing the blues? Can I paint what I'm feeling so that the work that I'm ambitious about ties into my emotions? I also think that, you know, with the moon in Pisces, you've been feeling more like, you know, being in a real hermitage. But the energy at the moment is get out in the streets and work with other people. Is very social and very aggressively involved. And with your moon in Aquarius natally, you feel it when the people are calling, when you feel like a social conscience. And that actually you need both in your life. You need that time inside to do the creative work, and you need to get involved out there. And I think the down is a real restlessness of feeling like you've got something else that you need to be beginning to involve in your life and get and do. And rather than something, you know, you may be also processing some relationship stuff. In 10 months, your progressive moon will be in Aries, and I think that you'll be kind of jumping into something new.
And it's kicking a little butt.
How can you use this time well? Anne, you want to take it away?
No, and kicking a little butt. I mean, I think it's, you know, you're at an, you know, a lot of times when we're at ending times, we're really just ending things. So there's a lot of releasing going on in your chart, you know, and your progressed ascendance on your Saturn. So that's generally I'm slogging away, but I don't really feel like I'm moving very fast. And your solar arc Saturn's on your Pluto. I'm slogging away, and I don't really feel like I'm moving very fast. And you felt like there was a bit of momentum, but then it just kind of paused, and it will be paused until June. So it's a great time for you to kind of dig in and, you know that you're going to move again. But it feels like a long time when we say 10 months,
okay,
but it actually goes really fast.
Can I ask you, should I release my work in June? Because I'm working on it now. Is that a time to release it?
You mean send it out
into
the world?
Yeah.
You mean like release it like an album or something like that?
Yeah, an album.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're going to find people that in about 4 or 5 months that actually want to support the release of it. So that's June. That's May, June, because we're in February now.
But you really have to connect it, what the work that you're doing with what you're feeling.
Right.
Okay. I understand.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Mark, you got anything you want to add?
No, just a note that you have the North Node in Leo and the South Node in Aquarius, and the tendency with that Aquarius South Node is to sort of withdraw, pull into the cave, get, you know, stand back,
That's so true. That is so true. When I'm feeling a little insecure, I just become silent. I just don't say anything at all. And I want to say things, but it's like I feel like it comes off a little too strong, or I don't want to be seen like as a know-it-all, because I do express myself in a certain way, and then I just feel like, you know, it's a lose-lose, because if I'm quiet, I feel like, you know, I'm there's a little self-betrayal, and then if I'm open, it's like, okay, well, they're not ready. So it's that push-pull that's constant in my life.
What will help you is to try to balance those two tendencies.
Okay.
And know that there's supposed to be a push-pull. Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand.
That's how you're designed. Sometimes, you know, what's that Paula Abdul song, two step forward, one step back? You know, I want it, but I, you know, and then I run away from it. You have that inherently in your chart. Because the Leo wants to shine and the Aquarius wants to cave, and they both are angular, so they both talk to each you all the time, you know, cave, shine, and you're like, ah, you know. And right now they're really having a little dialogue going on. So
okay. Oh,
good luck with it.
Well,
it's
the end of our time.
Yeah, and send us
okay.
your CD announcement on YouTube or the internet or however you're releasing it. It's very cool.
Oh, absolutely. I will.
Yeah.
I will. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
So
we love musicians. Yay. All right. So that's it for the show, gang. We ran out of time.
Mm-hmm.
It is over. The party's over. We are now going to hang up soon. The British lady spoke. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York. Bright Red Desk, Upper East Side. Yow.
Heather Rowan Robbins from Minnesota. Make sure you call one of us for a reading if you want some time.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark
Waltz. Mark Waltz in New York.
Yay.
Okay. All right. Talk to you next week.
Take care.
Talk next week. Bye.